Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Good morning. Good morning, Nancy.
How are you, Marisol?
I'm doing really well. I'm in the Christmas spirit, so, or the holiday spirit. I celebrate Christmas, so I feel like we're almost there.
I'd love to know where we're going, but that sounds good.
That's a great quote for 2020. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. I don't know. I'm like, my energy is bursting this morning because of our guest and our topic. So that's where my brain is.
I'm super excited. So I just kind of want to get straight to it and read what the topic is and then tell you why a little story. And then maybe we could bring him on and he can tell us more about his nonprofit. But the theme of this podcast today is Believe in Me. So I'm going to read it from our book, from the child's perspective. I need you to believe in me. How? Please be my biggest supporter by saying encouraging things to me about my ability to succeed. Why? This shows me that I am a capable person who can work hard to try to achieve anything that I set my mind to. If you don't believe in me, it will be really hard to have faith in myself. I'm sorry, I literally just cried reading that last line. It will be really hard to have faith in myself. So this is one of my favorite concepts of Be the Adult. I have a few that are closer in heart than others. Others are more my cross to bear. But this one, I love it. And the inner child in me wishes, you know, that my parents had received this information when I was growing up. And it ties into our guest because I don't know if you know this, Nancy, but I used to dance.
Oh, I didn't know that. Tell me.
I grew up dancing ballet in Miami. And I actually, you would, if you know me now, would be completely shocked by that. And actually danced professionally, got paid for it once, like $18. But I can say that I got paid.
That counts.
And I was entering high school. And there were two choices. I could go into a performing arts high school that is very well known now. It was starting back then. Or I could go to a traditional high school. And I remember at that time making the decision, even though I loved ballet, moderately talented. My body would not have aged properly. But even though I loved it, even though I felt very creative, I made the decision, not discussing it with anyone, just in my head saying, oh, well, I have to go to college and I have to study business and I have to make money. And dance can't do that for me. So I stopped. And I remember I've done podcasts about that moment because I feel like from that moment till like I was 40 and started podcasting, I had stopped doing anything of any that was creative because in my head, if I wasn't making money from it, there was no value in it, which I now completely 100% know not to be truth. You know, so I love this topic, believe in me, because I wonder how differently my life might have played out had someone given me a different conversation, maybe.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Marisol. I love getting to know you every time we interact. And what's so cool about the story is your level of awareness and how you, even though one thing was pounded into your head, we call them our shoulds, right? Our interjects, rules of life that we get from primarily our parents and society, that you became aware of one that wasn't working for you. And you move through it. And now, my gosh, you're an amazing writer, podcaster, all these creative things. So it's a beautiful example of how we can, once we have the awareness, we can shift and change. And for us parents, you know, we feel like all the pressure's on us, and a lot of it is. But our children can work through and grow and evolve through some of this stuff that we don't do so perfectly. So it's all good. So thanks for sharing that.
And I thought that tied in beautifully with our guests. So.
It absolutely does, which we'll get to in a minute. I just want to talk a few minutes about why it's important to believe in our kids. And then I'm going to be quiet and let our guests talk the rest of the time, because we had a conversation the other night and I feel like I could have talked to him for hours. So I don't know how he felt about talking to me, but anyway, all children need that one person who authentically believes in them, who really kind of tells in a meaningful way and shows them, more importantly, how valued they are, how they're loved for who they are inside. This is where my tears are starting, that they're good enough, right? Because the opposite of that is shame, that I'm not good enough, which really is at the core of so much unhealthiness in for all of us. And who has confidence in their abilities, encourages, nurtures, and strengthens their own efforts to reach their dreams. And as parents, we have an incredible opportunity to be that person for our kids, and which is so cool and beautiful, but also for me, really difficult and challenging. And when I meet a child, a teenager who exudes kind of that confidence, determination, that kind of magic fairy dust that we all want, that's hard to name, who believes in himself, I know, my dears, that there's a parent, behind that child, who believed in that child first, who had faith in them first, who helped them focus on their strengths, and then to have the courage to view their challenges, because we all have them, right, as unique qualities, as opportunities for growth. And so we really need to work hard. And I hope today's podcast, I believe that this topic and our guest and you, Marisol, will help us be able to focus on the beauty in our kids and meaningfully communicate that to them, even when we don't like how they're behaving or the choices they're making, or when they don't see it within themselves, when they have trouble seeing the light within themselves, that we can be that person who helps them see their beautiful soul. So, you know, we want our kids to know and understand how to positively view themselves and to view setbacks and failures in their lives as opportunities for growth. So that was my soapbox. I am going to now introduce Greg Long, who, oh my gosh, my smile, and I hope listeners, you can feel it through your computer or phone. He's an amazing guy. We got connected with him through Maureen Mountcastle, who I just am thanking profusely right now. She's on our Be the Adult committee. She's been a really ardent supporter of ours forever. And she one day sent me this just bursting with beauty and energy. And when you meet Maureen, you see how easy it is for her to show up that way. And she's like, oh my gosh, my cousin, you have to meet him. He's amazing. He started this nonprofit that just so fits with what we're doing. It's really all about helping make the world a better place and supporting children for who they are and honoring them and believing in them. And it was just infectious the way she was talking about all of this. And so I want to thank her very much. And thank you, Greg, for coming on. Greg is a Chicago-based parent of three awesome kids, Jimmy, 16, Gregory Jr., 19, and Juliana, 23, who runs a nonprofit to support male dance and anti-bullying programs. And I watched when Maureen told me about him, and I went on their website, Dance On, and watched just even the first video. What struck me, and I share this with you, Greg, was how your son was looking at you made me cry. I was like, I want that for all kids, with every parent, for them to just genuinely look at their parent with respect and admiration and love and feeling good enough. So, welcome.
Good morning, Nancy and Marisol. It is and I mean this, it is an absolute privilege to be here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Would you share with us about Dance On, kind of how it came to be, and just whatever you want to share?
I would love to. And unfortunately, I do not have a dance background like Marisol has. Just a parent who writes a lot of checks to support that activity that my son does. So Dance On was created out of a parking lot in an local elementary school. And that sounds interesting because it kind of is. My son and his dance team, he dances for a local studio here in Naperville, which is on the outskirts of Chicago, was invited to perform at a kind of a year-end school event, you know, in May and June, kind of marked the end of that year 2 years ago. And as they were performing, the entire team was met with some ridicule, which in and of itself was interesting from the audience, the children. But the three boys specifically were picked out for homophobic slurs and the things that male dancers seem to always hear in their journey. And I was not present there. We weren't allowed in. I was waiting in my Honda Odyssey to drive Jimmy and most of the dancers back to the studio. So when they piled into the car, there was a major conversation going on about what they had experienced. And of course, as I started hearing it, my head swiveled around like Linda Blair in The Exorcist, like what's going on? I started picking up as I was pulling away, I started picking up some of the vibe of what was going on. And it was interesting to watch eight kids kind of work out an incredibly tough experience. The boys kind of shell-shocked and the girls actually being very defiant and supportive. And how did this happen? And what are they thinking? And how can they say these things? Now, in my normal everyday life of experiencing people who have wronged my family, driving away and taking the higher road, I want to admit, is not my usual approach. So the fact that I'm not speaking to you in a yellow orange jumpsuit with numbers on is probably my biggest accomplishment to date as a parent. But I will tell you that listening to the children and letting them talk, and I think every parent has experienced, right? You learn a lot by just driving because they kind of forget you're there, and they talk a lot. I kind of said, all right, let's figure out how to deal with this in a different way. And this word just came out of my mouth at the end of it as they were kind of getting ready to exit the car. I was like, listen, guys, you'll get past this. We'll figure it out and we'll just keep dancing on, right? So we'll move on from this moment. So that word floated around for a while and I drove home and lots of things happened after that. There was apologies and the dance studio was very good at supporting the kids. In fact, when they went back, instead of having class, they actually had like kind of a session of what happened. And every year I make a t-shirt to support Jimmy because, and I'm sure we'll pull at this thread a little bit. I was supportive of Jimmy's choice to, select dance over soccer. He was actually a very good soccer player, but my family was a sports family. My brother played Division I basketball. My middle brother was very good. My sister was an awesome athlete as well. Unfortunately I'm only 5'8", so my career only went so far. But we all that, and my dad and mom also played basketball. But so again, I was the parent in the back of the audience. I would clap, I would show up. But that's what I did. I just showed up, right? And, you know, I wasn't the parent in the front, or I wasn't carrying his costumes or anything. I just was there. So flashback forward to that day, I decided to make a shirt and called Dance On. I put the hashtag in because that seemed hip at the time. And I made one, right? Because I was going to wear it. And I was just going to wear it as a show of support, not just for my son, but for the other boys. And honestly, for the girls too, because they were, is traumatized the right word? I don't know.
Yeah,
but, yeah, maybe they were by the experience, right?
Because they would know.
And again, I'm sorry, I'm rambling on here. So please
You're not rambling on and on. It's a wonderful story. And I think it's an example of the concept perfectly, just believing, you know, these concepts can be so broad, and sometimes to drill it down and give an example is just beautiful. So I think
thank you, Marisol. Well, and again, I'm from New York, so you'll have to just find the period in the sentence, because I could speak forever to jump in. But so when I made the one t-shirt, and I actually posted the experience on Facebook just to kind of get it out there. And maybe it was just cathartic for me to since I didn't get to do the other thing that I normally am known for, I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get this out of my system. Well, all of a sudden people are like, oh, I like that shirt. I'll support the cause. I'll take one. And next thing you know, the one shirt was 10 shirts. And then it was 20. And I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'll charge for these. And then I'll write a nice check to the studio and we'll call it a day and they'll do something nice with it. Well, here we are 2 years later. We're now a incorporated 501c3 charity. All our proceeds from apparel or masterclasses that we hold, or even straight donations, go to support scholarships, mostly for male dancers, but we'll support anybody with financial need to keep their journey going. And we also support theater programs. We try to develop concepts around anti-bullying. Some of our concept videos, if you get onto our webpage, will show how we use dance to interpret experiences for young kids. And in the course of this, we've made some amazing friends. We have been adopted by the cast of Hamilton in Chicago, who have done a lot of our work. Giordano Dance Chicago is probably the preeminent jazz company in the country, and they have done amazing things for us. Obviously, we've had some recent visibility on the Today Show, and the former First Lady opted to reach out to Jimmy to give support. So that was just insane.
Wow.
So, from one bad experience in a parking lot to a t-shirt to the fact that I'm speaking to you wonderful people right now. And here we are.
Wow. I have to take a moment and breathe just to stay present, because I'm blown away with positive emotion for you and everyone who is working with you and supporting you. And I'm mostly thanking you for all those kids.
I just think it's a wonderful, you know, example, like everything that happens so quickly, you know, it just seemed, it's a beautiful, like, you're gonna laugh, Craig, synchronicity to taking action on something that you believe in, and how you stood by your child and the children of that studio. It's just, it's a beautiful story. And I think one that many, many people in different, you know, it could be dance, it could be a different travel sport or something that people can relate to.
Right. Well, what I would tell you what it did for me is it pulled me out of the back of the audience, right? So I certainly check the parent box. I write a check to make sure that Jimmy dances. And when I say I, anytime I say the word I, please insert the pronoun we, because my wife is, you know, there's not enough time on your podcast to talk about how she is on this whole thing. But so I would show up to dances. I tried to, you know, back and forth to practices, but that's, I don't know, that's surface. Is that maybe the right term? This actually made me feel his experience in a way. And so I think I tried to become a lot more present in what he was doing and the kind of environment that he was in with being a male dancer. So that made me involved in a different way.
Do you mind if I ask a semi-personal question, or it's a personal question? Mm-hmm. How, since
just
that...
Be very careful, Marisol. I am very direct in an open book, so...
How did this, you taking action on this, how did that affect your relationship with your son?
We have an interesting relationship. I hope your listeners understand that, you know, as Nancy gave me a nice, or gave Jimmy and I a nice moment about how he looked up to me, that is that day. The relationship we have is one where I am still trying to understand a 16-year-old male dancer. I am still trying, because I don't know anything about dance. They will tell anyone, my daughter danced, you know, Mary, who is the dance mom and knows all the terms and stuff like that. They will tell you in the house, I am behind the dog in understanding terminology and how the scoring works in competitions. I'm just an angry dad with a phone so that I'm able to coordinate stuff. But with Jimmy, we have our relationship is still a work in progress. And one of the reasons is while he is incredibly understanding and supportive of the cause, Jimmy doesn't always like to be the role model victim all the time. Sure. Right. And also, let's be honest, maybe COVID has given us a little bit of unexpected air cover. Being a male dancer and then having a cause that your family's tied to being so visible at school is probably not always great too, because sometimes kids just want to blend in and they don't want to be this perceived militant figure.
Right.
So we have a lot of back and forth and have had good moments. And like most parents have had their bad moments where we're like, all right, do we need to still keep doing this thing? It might be counterproductive here, but the good news is Jimmy at the end always is like, nope, this is bigger than me. And it's more important that we continue to help people. So
how lovely that he is in touch with that and has the courage. This is another sign of his courage to be a little different, right? Excuse me, right now, than maybe he views his peers, because, you know, adolescence, everyone just kind of wants to blend into the woodwork, right? And also to stand 6 feet away from their parents, right? I guess COVID's helping with that at some level. But I wanted to just talk about your focus on building the relationship. And that's true for all of us. Like, I hope my youngest is 19. I have a 24 and a 26-year-old. Wow, when I say that, I feel old. But I feel like I'm continuing to learn about them and figuring things out about them that I had no idea. And I look back, I'm like, how did you not know that? But I think just our effort, like what I'm hearing from you is your awareness that this relationship evolves over time. And sometimes we do it right, we are the adult, and sometimes we don't. But that when our children feel our effort, like I wrote a note with a star when you were talking that you made a shirt for you to wear. And to me, that is such a profound moment. I'm imagining, I'm making this up, in Jimmy's life, to feel your unconditional, wholehearted support. And even if this movement had stopped there, what a valuable gift that is for him to feel that. And so we don't have to get it right most of the time. It's just them seeing our effort to try to know them, be curious, and improve, right?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I think Greg's phrase, work in progress, is like, it was just perfect, because that's how I feel any relationship is. It's constantly, you know, a work in progress. And that I thought that was very, very telling and honest.
Yeah. Thank you, Marisol. I had shared this in kind of the, we had a, Nancy and I had a pre-production meeting, and one of my own personal fears about this, because when you run a non-for-profit, by and large, the reaction is pretty positive, right? I mean, not many people like to throw rocks at something that is for good. And so I always feel like I get overly praised, and it makes me a little uncomfortable because I am a very flawed parent. In fact, full disclosure, we had kind of a family, and I'm putting air quotes, although your audience can't see it, meeting that reminded us, our kids being like, hey, I think Nancy, you had mentioned, how did you miss this? And, you know, you could have done better at that. And my wife and I were like, wow, you know, sometimes we were like, hey, we're really rocking this parent thing. And we realized, nope, we still got a long ways to go. And I think, I don't know if you ever get to spike the ball as a parent, right? You're always learning until you got that foot in the grave, I think, where you could have done something a little bit better or said the right word or, you know, patted somebody on the head just a little bit more. So, you know, I think I'm comfortable with that, that I know that I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But Marisol, to your point, the effort is there. I'm trying. We are trying. We are trying every day.
And I think that's the universal message is, you know, we all are trying to do our best with the tools that we have. So I think, you know, Nancy's point to her point that, you know, she always makes this point of having grace for ourselves. And I completely understand what you're saying because, you know, working with Nancy and working with Be the Adult, I'm constantly like disclaimer, like, hey, I'm not Be the Adult every day. I'm not Be the Adult every hour. I'm in Be the Adult as an accountability partner so that it reminds me how to do this. But yeah, being a parent is, I don't know if there's an end date, you know. I think I'm constantly going to be trying to do better.
Yeah, which is what we want to model for our kids. It's like, have grace for yourself. You're going to screw up. And that's normal. But what do you do when you screw up? I hope you're aware of it. And I hope you try to move forward from it in a better way. And so I try to remind myself of that all the time. It's like, hey, I'm just modeling being authentic and real and what you do when you mess up. So.
Yeah, I think the phrase I'm sorry is something that, and I certainly had to make my peace with that phrase, is something parents feel maybe denotes weakness sometimes. And I really feel that if you can apologize to your child in whatever situation comes from the most innocuous thing to some maybe deep-seated, some event, that's important because it does show, you know, that you're human and that you make mistakes. And, you know, there's a little bit of integrity there in that phrase. So I say it often because I make a ton of mistakes, but I think it's I think our children appreciate that.
Absolutely. And I think it also helps them realize that we have our own inner world and our own lives, that we react to them sometimes and it has absolutely nothing to do with them.
Right.
And then again, just what to do when they bring something to the moment that doesn't belong there and hang it on someone else. You know, my brain went to these children who were watching your son and his team dance and what they were possibly bringing to the moment that doesn't make how they behaved okay by any means. But I want to get to what they've been through in life that they felt it was okay to behave that way, which I think could be really valuable. I'd love to ask you a personal question now, and you can always say no to me. Just know that I'll honor it. Okay. So did you learn in childhood, like, did you have that one person who believed in you or several people, or is this something that you had to, like Marisol talked about so authentically, really kind of figure out on your own of how to value yourself and then be able to value your son? Would you mind speaking to that?
Great question. So I'm going to just be spontaneous and answer, and hopefully we'll get to what you're looking for. I will tell you, I don't know if it's cultural or not, but my parents were, I believe, first generation Irish immigrants. So my grandparents came over in the 20s. I have found Irish people, and sometimes it's amazingly misplaced, but very confident in themselves for some reason. I don't know why it is, and hopefully that doesn't veer into any kind of cultural bias or stereotypes. But whether or not it's earned or whatever, the Irish seem to be very comfortable with themselves and what they do. Now, having said that, add to the fact that my parents are very competitive people. So there is an inherent drive to succeed, which comes with all the pluses and minuses, right? The drive and the ambition, but then the pressure and the stress. That environment created a need to be confident about yourself and assured about yourself and to work at what it is you were doing. So whether it was schoolwork or, as I said, the family sport was basketball. Or I will tell you the one thing that was very important to my family, which I think is an absolute corollary to supporting anti-bullying, is loyalty. My family, good, bad, or indifferent, and we are a very direct, blunt, very comfortable with the four-letter word family, and that includes my saint of a mother, who will drop a four-letter bomb every once in a while. But we are loyal to a fault. We are the people you call at 4 a.m. to bail you out of jail. We are the people that will get into a fight with you, even though we don't know why you were fighting or the cause, but hey, it's you and we're jumping in. That was absolutely bred into us at an early age. And so I think that just feeds into that we were always supporters of the underdog or the bullied or whatever, which I think certainly fused this not-for-profit creation. But to your point about confidence and things like that, I think those were the factors, a little bit of cultural facets to it, and then the competitive drive that was driven into us as a young kid.
So it sounds like your parents did a beautiful job, whether they were aware of it or not, of really authentically accepting you for who you are inside. Right. And your culture too. And you said you have how many cousins? 32?
Yeah, it was mostly from my mom's side. I think there was three brothers and three sisters, all who had 5 or 6 kids. We all lived, if not on top of one another, starting out in Manhattan in the Bronx, certainly within, driving distance, so that family events and everything was heavily attended. In fact, our annual family reunion, which is now held at Shea City Field for the Mets, go Mets, numbers well over 100, because everyone now has their kids and second generation cousins and stuff like that. So all of that, very fused family, support for family, everything big. It was a big, big deal.
So your family really is a village.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A village. One, the first people who were buying t-shirts and sweatshirts and whatever was cousins, aunts and uncles. And from there, they kind of got us up on our feet. Although we didn't know we were supposed to be up on our feet at the point, we just had one t-shirt, but yes, they were the ones who kind of made it financially possible in the beginning.
I'm just really appreciating, Greg, your story and how it got you here for so many reasons, and how candid you are with us. And I think inherently when I speak with people who are so authentic and real and transparent, it inherently builds trust for me, which again, I think is a big component of being able for our children to feel good enough that they trust that we're authentically supporting who they are inside. Do you have any thoughts for parents who are listening and thinking to themselves, hey, I want to do better. I want to support my kids.
You know what? I don't have a ton of tips. I do have one. This was posed to me. We had an actual movie premiere of our first concept video at the local high school, and 700 people showed up. It was a incredible experience. We had no idea that we would draw that many. And after the viewing, we had a Q&A with the director and the choreographer, who's Yossi Chaikin from Hamilton, who worked with us, and then some of the parents on stage. And we actually had some audience questions that we were able to field. And one of them was, I think basically what you asked is, how can I support my child in what they do? And it just came to me because I think it just all emanated from there, is just to be present, right? Be at the softball game, show up at the parent-teacher meeting, be there for their recital. From there, everything else will follow, right? So if your child sees that you're showing up, it immediately is a validation of what they're doing or what they want to be. And then depending on what you need to do, you can amp that presence up to being the coach or passing on whatever, you know, athletic acumen and ideas that you had to your kid. You know, who, you know, that sounds like Field of Dreams, right? The father and son playing catch at the end of the game. You get those moments, but you only get those moments when you're present. So show, basically, as a parent, show up. Mm. That's my tip.
Yeah. We talk about being present throughout. It permeates everything we talk about. You're right, because we don't even have to say anything. Our child just feels our energy, feels our love and support. And then if we manage to say something, you know, that's helpful or maybe once in a lifetime profound for me, that's the icing on the cake. And what's that?
It is. And, you know, I actually have a day job, which people don't always think I do, that is very demanding. And I realized, I guess, in the last couple of years, again, doesn't make me this great parent. It was just a rationalization. There will always be another business meeting. There will always be another client call. But you may not get another soccer game. You may not get another graduation. And those are the decisions that can be life-altering for your child, right? To pass up the Johnson account and make sure that you show up for that basketball game.
Mm. Wow. You know, it's this interest in our kids, this getting to know their outer world and their inner world. It's the curiosity, even in marriage, right? It's like in friendship. It's being with someone who just wants to know you better. Just to me, does it for me. It feels
I am blessed that you guys asked me to be here. But anything that you've heard me speak about, I have had for 29 years, the blessing of a wife who always nudges me in the right direction. So being who I am right now is in large part to Mary Long.
Mm. Well, I want to meet Mary Long. She sounds awesome.
Thank you.
She is. Yeah. Anything else about your nonprofit, Dance On, that you want to share? Because it's really powerful.
Sure. If you don't mind me taking a minute, we actually gave out our last three scholarships just this past 2 weeks to make it 47 for the last 2 years.
Wow.
Thank you. Those are sometimes monetary, most of the time monetary awards, but support so that young artists can continue to dance. It helps parents out. It is very expensive, especially ballet. God, Marisol, I can't even imagine the amount of shoes that you went through and costumes, and those are not inexpensive. But we do that. We had some master classes this year, most of them virtual because of our current environment. But the money we raised for that, we donated to Feeding America, the Texas Organizing Project, which was an organization that helped legally represent the underserved communities. Just a number of organizations in addition to the specific scholarships. So we're looking forward to 2021. We have some really big things planned. And again, hopefully the environment will loosen up a little bit where we can do this in person. We got some more scholarships and master classes to give out. But we only do that with the support of everyone else. We get a lot of credit for like, oh, that's so great, you give a scholarship. All I do is take everybody else's money and give it to them. It's not mine. So the generosity of everybody listening, the generosity of my family who have supported us, all goes to support those causes. And at danceonchicago.com, you can check us out.
That's excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't wait to share this episode because I have two friends who from my childhood who are still connected to the dance community. So I can't wait to tag them and be like, listen to this podcast.
Thank you. And it is word of mouth that, you know, we're still here going 2 years later.
Yeah. And Maureen is in the process, if it's okay to share, of trying to write kind of a joint project between our two organizations to try to incorporate the Be the Adult concepts with the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I actually just saw the first draft that she sent in. I was like, wow, this is pretty powerful. So We're looking forward to that.
We are too. Thank you so much for including us. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your heart, your generosity. And I won't go on and on with the adjectives. I don't want to make you too uncomfortable.
Thank you. Being on the show, it was enough today. Thank you so much, Nancy and Marisol, for having me.
You were great. Thank you so much. And thank you to all the listeners who download us every week. We are very grateful for you. We wish everyone a happy and safe holiday season. Nancy, do you have anything else you want to add before we say goodbye?
No, just to check out Dance On, and you will feel for yourself everything that we've been talking about. So I encourage you to do that.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.